He's an uncommon breed in the world of enterprise technology. Aaron Levy is known for his colorful sneakers, his magic tricks, and ironic tweets. But there's no underestimating his ambition to dominate the flight of business to the cloud. He started building websites when he was 13 and met the kids who would become his co-founders as far back as middle school. But unlike places like Facebook and Twitter, where tales of early infighting are legend, all four of Box's co-founders still work there together a decade later. Joining me today on Studio 1.0, Box CEO and co-founder, Aaron Levy.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Blue sneakers
yes.
Today, I appreciate that. What are the socks?
Those are cloud socks.
Okay.
Official cloud socks for the enterprise software industry.
I like it. You grew up in Seattle.
Yes.
What kind of kid were you?
Probably not atypical of sort of certainly people that are in the tech industry. So spent far too much time on the internet, not a large volume of friends. Most of those that were my friends, I've founded Box with. We were growing up in the shadow of Microsoft.
Did you idolize Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates?
Everybody knew the Bill Gates story by heart. What's cool about Microsoft is you could actually go and they would let you be a product tester. So a lot of people in high school, you'd actually go to Microsoft and test out new products, and then they would give you like a free mouse at the end of it.
Okay, so you met your co-founders in middle school.
Yep.
Tell me about that.
So Dylan Smith, the sort of first co-founder of Box, who's now our chief financial officer, we actually played trumpet together in middle school. Neither of us were any good at that. And then throughout middle school and high school, though, I did a lot of stuff on the internet with Jeff, and then later in high school with Sam Goads.
Tell me how Box began.
If you go back about 10 years ago, not a lot of innovation was happening. So it was really, really hard to do basic things like how do you share your files? How do you access your data from anywhere? How do you collaborate and work with other people? And so I was in college at the time, and the original idea was, what if you could have these sort of hard drives in the cloud that would let you put all your files in these hard drives and then access it from the internet and any device that you wanted to be able to work from.
So tell me about those early days,
yeah.
Like fondest memories.
One was Mark Cuban was an angel investor in Box, and that was just done by a cold email that we sent to Mark. Back in 2005. So he sent us a $350,000 check and to people he had never met. And so that gave Dylan and myself the idea, maybe we should just pursue this full time. Which led to us basically proposing the idea to our parents that we were gonna drop out of college. They subsequently got freaked out, but we had to do it and pursue the mission. We dropped out, and then we convinced our other two friends, Sam and Jeff, to also drop out of college. We all huddled together in Berkeley.
This is when you moved to the garage.
We moved to this garage,
of course.
This renovated garage in Berkeley that my uncle had built up. And I'm not sure that it was legal at all. We would spend 16 hours a day, 17 hours a day of just working on the software, on the business model, and marketing. It was just four of us living, working, eating, sleeping in the same place. It was pretty disgusting, actually. if you really want to know, it's probably more akin to a sweatshop. But this is how you build companies.
You tweeted a picture of that garage,
yeah.
Saying Box's first office 8 years ago, where we slept, worked, fought, pivoted, and built. Now, when it came to each of your co-founders, what was each of your roles?
We got really lucky, I think, collectively, because we each bring a different kind of skill to the table. So we had sort of the software skill, the hardware and networking skill. We had the finance, administration, legal, business operations skill that was Dylan. And then I focused really on the product side.
So when you say you fought, I'm just curious,
yes.
In those early days, what did you fight about? What were the issues that came up?
We had all the sort of fighting and all of the bickering as founders, but the nice thing is that all fell back on, that trusted relationship that let us kind of work through that, and we didn't have the same kind of early founding battles that other companies have run into because we had been friends for, in some cases, a decade before we had even started the company.
So obviously at Facebook you had lawsuits, at Twitter, tales of infighting and backstabbing. What makes Box unique? What makes you guys different?
When you play trumpet with your co-founder at the ripe age of 11, you have a rooted friendship that that you know, bickering and frustrations from building a company tend to not be able to break.
Has keeping the team together been a priority?
Yeah, we spend a lot of time together still, and once a year, for instance, we do our own offsite, just the four of us.
Has any one of you ever had a moment where you've thought, I don't know if I want to keep doing this, maybe I want to move on? I mean, it's been 10 years.
It has been 10 years. I have no idea if my co-founders have had those moments, but none that I have been told about.
What's it like becoming a CEO at the age of 19 when your peers are in college, partying, and certainly not starting businesses?
It's generally just worse than what your peers are doing. So, it's not very illustrious to be a CEO of a two-person company. It got me excluded from a lot of parties at the time, and people, and it looked from a distance, looked like they were having a lot more fun, and because it's generally more fun to go out than to be on your computer 14 hours a day during college.
What is the myth of Aaron Levy, and what is the reality?
I think I'm still early with myths, so I don't know what myths have emerged, but the reality is that it's a really simple idea. Our job is to build software that previously enterprises didn't think that, you know, was possible to create.
How is Aaron Levy sitting in front of me today different than the 19-year-old CEO?
I think as a 19-year-old CEO, I'd be grabbing my hair more. I had a lot more sort of issues with ADD and stuff.
I know you're on the road a lot. This
Yes.
is now a global company. How do you structure your time?
I probably spend about 50% of the time on the road, because it turns out that enterprises are everywhere. Until you go out to a farm who's going to use drones to manage their agriculture business, you don't actually know how these technologies are going to intersect with the sort of real world. And so you have to go out on the road and actually understand
right.
that from customers direct.
You drink a lot of coffee, apparently.
I do.
You take a nap.
I do take naps.
Every day?
I try to, yeah.
What is this, Spain?
Yes. Oh, you forgot the three.
No siestas in Silicon
3 months
Valley.
Of vacation I take every year.
No, but really, you do. You take a nap and you work.
I do take a nap.
You work more in the evening. Tell me
yes.
about that.
It's really just a best practice. So right around 7 p.m. or so, you take a 25-minute power nap, and you wake up fully recharged, and that lasts for another about 5 hours or so. And then it's me time. That's where I get to go design sort of, you know, what are we going to do next? What are we behind on? What do we need to start to think about? And that's generally when everybody gets inundated by emails from me.
And you have a diary, right? Like a personal
diary.
Aaron Levy only diary.
The range of different industries and what you have to learn about from their technology is just very vast. And so you have to keep track of that somewhere.
And this is something that only you see?
Yes, I would not want you to see it. So these are sort of my personal things.
How big is Box today?
We have about 1,100 employees. We have 240,000 businesses that actively use the product. About 39,000 companies of sort of paying for our enterprise edition of the service, 27 million users.
You recently rolled out Box for Industries
Yes.
for healthcare, retail, media, and entertainment. How's that going, and what's next?
What we started to see happening is in every industry that we were serving, there was some kind of edge of our product or edge of their use cases that was sort of far more advanced and innovative than we had ever imagined that could be done with our platform and technology. About a month ago, we announced Box for Industries, which today covers healthcare, media, retail, but we'll be announcing a number of other industries over the next couple of months that will take Box into, in some cases, more regulated industries that we think are very ripe for change. It'll serve every major industry.
You're seeing so much change and disruption in the world of enterprise technology right now. Larry Ellison stepping down as the CEO of Oracle, HP splitting up, IBM struggling. When it comes to incumbents versus startups,
yeah.
How does it play out?
So every couple of decades, you have this sort of changing of the guard, as it were. Startups that are really optimized for that disruption have an opportunity to take advantage of that and potentially build the next era of IBM and HP and Microsoft. At the same time, you do have incumbents that have a lot of cash. They are led by incredibly smart and astute leaders that understand this change. The changes that you're seeing are driven specifically because they know that they're being disrupted.
Peter Thiel, for example, said to me, HP is not a technology company anymore. It's a bet against innovation.
I think that is a very, it's certainly a provocative statement, but I think in terms of relevance, You have leaders of these companies that are recognizing that their previous strategy would have led to irrelevance, and that they have to change that. We have this view that sort of everything is sort of zero sum. IBM doesn't have to lose for Apple to win or for Salesforce to win.
What about a company like Microsoft, the company that you grew up with?
I think there are specific product areas that that could potentially lose or be harmed by, by some of this transition. But them as an entire company at the macro level doesn't necessarily have to lose.
So companies like Microsoft, Google, Amazon are dropping the price of cloud storage. How much of a threat is that to Box?
Oh, we love that. The same unit of storage is now a 40th the price as it was 10 years ago on the supply side of our business. So the cheaper that storage gets, the more data that we can store for a customer, and the more that we can deliver unique experiences around their content.
You recently took on $150 million in funding from TPG and Coatue. Company's now valued $2.4 billion. Why'd you take that money?
You know, as you may have seen, we had filed to go public in March of this year. And then basically about a week after we filed to go public, there was a bit of a market correction in the tech stock space. So you saw a bit of volatility, quite a bit of volatility in a lot of SaaS and kind of high growth technology companies. So what we decided was it wasn't the best time to bring a new company to market. And we had amazing support from some private market growth, sort of late stage investors, TPG and Coatue in this case, that were willing to and interested in supporting the customer company as a private company. And so we took that money on to allow us to continue to invest in growth, continue to invest in the business model and building out Box without necessarily going public.
How much have you wondered, did we make a mistake? Did we file too soon?
What is obvious is that we should not have filed when we did, because we certainly dealt with a lot of distraction because of that filing. And so I think that whether that was, you know, a lot of the unfortunately news reports and the cycle that had to happen around the business that obviously we brought on because of the filing, that was absolutely a distraction to what our core focus is and has been, which is, you know, execution and building up the business. But life is certainly too short to have any, you know, specific regrets. So we've learned and we have been and remained in just full execution mode.
I'm curious what that moment was like for you, because you open your books to the world. Everybody can see your finances. Somebody like Om Malik calls Box a house of horrors.
Yeah, that's an extreme phrase. We're competing against really the biggest companies on the planet in the technology industry. And so to do that, you have to make a pretty significant investment. In our case, that's an investment in research and development, in infrastructure, in our sales team, and our ability to actually go to market and reach these customers.
The criticism was that you're spending more on sales and marketing and acquiring customers than you're making.
Yeah.
How are you changing that, or how has that changed?
Well, I think the thing that scale gives you is that because we're a recurring revenue business model, and that was the other thing that I think was sort of lost in the mix a little bit is that for, you know, every dollar that we acquire of revenue is a dollar that is recurring annually. Mm-hmm. And so our job is to keep customers happy and successful and compound that dollar over time. We just happened to unveil our S1 at a point where, again, the new investments had outpaced the revenue scale. And so now I think we're more in a stage where the revenue is, we're focused on growing that, of course, and that's compounding. But we don't have as many of the new sort of significant investments because we've done a lot of the international expansion. We've built out a lot of the enterprise sales force, and so you're starting to see that efficiency play out over time.
How much have you thought about selling Box versus staying independent versus going public?
Well, we want to sell our software to a lot of companies, but the company itself, we've spent about 0% of our time thinking about over the past few years.
All right. China, obviously, this is a critical market that a lot of U.S. technology business have trouble getting into. What's your strategy on China now?
Sort of absent learning Chinese or Mandarin, my challenge has been, how do we actually go explore, working in the market in a big way? And I think what you'll see is probably us partner over time with kind of key players in the space. But I wouldn't expect us doing anything really big in China in the near future.
There's a company you may have heard of called Dropbox.
Yes, I have.
The name Box is in the name Dropbox. You do overlap to a certain extent in terms of business customers. How much of an inconvenience has Dropbox been for you over the last however many years.
You know, inconvenience is a unique word. So I think they're a very innovative company. Drew is obviously an incredible leader. We obviously are a fierce competitor from a business standpoint at the sort of business part of the market, but I think that the world is better with them.
Why do you think you can offer business customers something better than they can?
Well, I think that when you go after the enterprise, it's really, really hard to balance a strategy where you are world-class at the consumer side and also be world-class for a hospital or a life sciences company or a financial services institution. Those are just very, very different types of problems. At Box, we don't have any distractions. We are 100% focused.
Silicon Valley is sometimes criticized for being too audacious, too arrogant in thinking that we can change the world. Is that fair?
It used to be that there was a cycle of disruption within Silicon Valley where software companies constantly sort of disrupted themselves. We are going through an evolution where we are having to interact with so many new markets in so many different ways. And at first that starts out as we can solve those problems better than anybody else. Sometimes that belief is right and sometimes it's not. Some of the times when that's not correct, it ends up looking ludicrous and we look obnoxious for it, right? The outside world is unbelievably fascinated with and excited about working with Silicon Valley and this wave of disruption. It's something that we don't necessarily get a perspective for as often as I think we could or maybe we should. And so
meaning because we're living in our own bubble.
Yeah, we live in our own bubble. The view is it's sort of Silicon Valley versus the rest of the world when it's actually Silicon Valley being integrated into the rest of the world. And for the first time where we're not in this sort of isolated universe of it's its own industry. There's no tech industry. There's sort of tech-enabled everything. It's an unbelievably interesting time to be the same kind of retailer that 5 years ago you would have thought was going away because of the internet. There's a tremendous number of companies that have emerged that are trying to help you develop new experiences to get to your customers, right? 10 years ago, you thought Amazon was just gonna just destroy your entire industry. And now you're on the upswing because we want all new experiences of how we're gonna go shop.
So you think there's no such thing as the tech industry? Or in the future, the tech industry won't be so defined?
I think it's going to be less defined is the idea. You might have Silicon Valley, but that should be seen as the sort of software layer of every other industry.
Your tweets are widely followed, semi-funny.
Thank you.
Thanks for the good material. In response to concerns that you'd rein in your tweets after you filed to go public, you tweeted a photo of a Missouri law firm and gave a shout out to your new Twitter followers.
Actually, I don't know how the Missouri law firm felt about that.
Hopefully you don't get sued over it.
They didn't sue us, so they probably shouldn't. I'm sure we sent them some traffic or new customers or something.
But tweeting as much as you do, why do you do it?
Well, maybe one myth actually that I can dispel is that I generally only tweet once or twice a day.
So you're like way behind Mark Andreessen. You are not in the.
I'm not at Mark Andreessen. I'm sort of between Peter Thiel and Mark Andreessen in my tweet volume. No, I mean it's my one outlet that the PR team doesn't control for me to be able to just share my thoughts on the technology industry.
I guess I wonder, like, why aren't you more scared?
That might be partly generational. I mean, I grew up on chat rooms. I'm sure I will say something stupid someday that I wake up to in the morning and pull a Donald Trump or something and then regret tweeting for the rest of my life.
How much of it is strategy?
It's probably less actually strategic than you might think because my brain is sort of all over the place. And so it's actually very representative of the sort of random notions that I have.
I've had the benefit of seeing you do magic.
Well, so I'm less active now as a magician.
That's a very hard thing to learn.
Yeah, some would say it's impossible.
What have you learned from that, or how has that affected your career?
So the magic industry is very weird. Have you ever been to a magic conference?
No, that sounds like an interesting experience.
Do you think the tech industry has a diversity problem? There's something called the International Brotherhood of Magicians. I don't know if I learned much beyond what maybe not to do. That would be very weird.
Okay.
But it was a fun experience when I was in my teenagers.
Will Box still become a public company?
That's the path we're on. So I would say it's pretty likely.
You wouldn't say yes?
I would say yes in the sense of that is the path that we're on.
Would you ever start something new, or is this it?
I think if this continues to go as it is, you know, I hope to be doing this for quite some time.
You want to be the Larry Ellison of cloud storage?
It doesn't seem like he's had a horrible life. Because of what we do is it sort of transcends industry, it transcends sort of different platforms and devices and ways that you're going to be able to work with information. There's really no limit to what it's going to be possible in our kind of market broadly. We have a very wide palette to work with over the next many, many years.
Aaron Levy, cool. CEO of Box, thank you so much.
Emily, thank you.
Great to have you.